Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He has so many wonderful things to say and share with us. And it's enjoyable to hear every word He speaks. I like when the Lord teaches me something new or help me understand things in a greater way. It's always amazing. It's always interesting. And sometimes I just think and reflect on what He already said. You know, just like Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift that's in you. Well, when you think about things that the Lord said even years ago, it's still a fresh word now because they are living words. Part of my ministry is called Living Letter Ministries because the Lord gave me, one of my first assignments was to write living letters. And they are all timeless. And they will always work. They will always be timeless. They will always be relevant. Because it's the Word of God and it's timeless. Nothing of God dies. Nothing. And the only way we can build is as we receive from the Holy Spirit. Zechariah saw a candlestick. And it had seven bowls and seven pipes. And the oil flowed from two olive trees. And Zechariah said, "What is this, my Lord?" He said, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit." And before that, he asked him, he said, "Do you not know what these are?" He said, "No, my Lord." He said, "These are the two witnesses that stand before the whole earth." This is the standard of God. This is the course of the knowledge of God. The seven bowls that hold the oil represents the seven spirits of God. Now, there's one Holy Spirit, and He manifests Himself seven ways. According to Isaiah chapter 11, the Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of knowledge and wisdom, counsel, might, and of the fear of the Lord. I hope I can name them all. But everything that He gives you is from from the Holy Spirit, which is manifested in seven ways. Everything that He gives us, sometimes the element we need is the fear of the Lord. Without the fear of the Lord, there's no knowledge. Some things we wouldn't do unless we fear the Lord. And remember, that's the beginning. I'm going to stick with this because I trust and fear God. Remember something about the Lord. Even though He loves us and He's long-suffering, He's also very dangerous. Recently, the Lord said, "I'm dangerous." And He is. He said, "Don't fear man. They can kill your body, but they can't kill your spirit. Don't fear man, ever. But fear the one that can destroy both your soul and your body, or your spirit and your body. Cast a man in hell. He doesn't want to. But everybody that go to hell is because they would not have faith in the Lord. And every time people tried to get them to have faith in God, they had some reason not to. And sometimes these are wonderful people otherwise. They'll help you, they'll lend you money, they'll give you things, they'll bless you, they'll buy you presents. They'll even go to church and put money in church. But when it's time for them to believe on Jesus, they walk around it. And these are people we love and care about. These are our kinfolks, our friends, our co-workers, our teachers, and sometimes our students. And sometimes our parents and children. And when people have an alternative, when they fall for that alternative, then they put God in a position where He can't let them in heaven. It's not enough that they love, that you love them. It's not enough that God loves them. Why? Why, preacher? Why would God let a man go to hell that's otherwise kind? Because everybody is growing. And if we can resist getting saved, we can do worse than that. And if we don't get saved, we will do worse than that. People will become, if God let us live longer than 120 years, if he let society live 220 years, if he doubled our top lifespan, if he doubled our top lifespan, the world would be much more corrupt than it already is. And the reason it's not, it's as good as it is because people die before they get a chance to graduate any further than 120 years. Remember, the first sin, the man didn't kill anybody, he wasn't mad at anybody, he wasn't a strife with anybody. He trusted Satan and ate fruit that God told him not to eat. That's all he did. And it introduced a sin nature in us because it was deliberate and he disobeyed God on purpose. Whatever his motive was, that's what he did, and it changed his DNA. Changed his whole makeup. And 1,400 years later, he was so corrupt. Or 1,500 years later. I used to know how many years went by the age of the people listed in Genesis, the year of the flood. It was around 14 to maybe 1,500 years. Well, at that time, when this happened, men were so evil and so hard-hearted that all they thought about, all of their thoughts was only evil continually. There was not a moment in the day when they thought about the kindness of God. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the Lord was able to save our generation through one family. Noah, his sons, and his sons' wives, and Noah's wife. So, it's important to understand the power of sin over time. Over time, people are going to grow and develop. We can grow in the ways of God, or we can grow according to the world system. And people develop all kind of thoughts over the course of their lives. And what happens next is sin hardens your heart. It causes the generations to run from God. And some people have no appetite for God because they were not only just born in sin, but they were surrounded by it and influenced by it. And their grandparents would not listen to God. And their children wouldn't listen to God either. And everybody in their circle is ungodly. And some people try other religions, and they destroy their children. They don't have a snowball's chance. But sometimes people they find out about better families that do things better, and they see churches being developed. And some people who go to church, they draw people. Now, just like there's a family that they go to church and teach their children right, and then their children have corrupt friends that cause them to drift into the world a while, and sometimes permanently. Sometimes they are evil people or people that's just not saved. Their children see the light and they want in on anybody, anywhere, of their own free will can desire the things of God. And if they do, the Lord will help them increase in the knowledge of God. The Holy Spirit will introduce them to the the knowledge of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the spirit of the Lord. And they'll start increasing. And they'll learn the fear of the Lord. And they'll gain understanding. They'll start going forward. They'll start doing better and better and better and better, to the point that their own family won't want them around anymore because they love God. Or they will follow God and grow, and their family, some of their family members will start getting saved. And it changed the course of that whole family. Some people have never tried the things of God, and once they did, they wanted in on it. Sometimes children help win parents. Sometimes parents win children. Sometimes teenagers win their siblings, and their siblings win their parents. Everything in this world that can happen will happen. But when people, once a person believe on Jesus, he's changed. He won. Now, if they stay in the love of God, they're going to grow from glory to glory. But if something happened to their love for God, something will happen to their choices. And then something will happen to them. The broadcast that I did this morning, the Lord was talking about how the hot church are made up of people who love God. They are sincere toward God. You don't have to be a thriving apostle. You don't have to be a pastor with a great congregation. You don't have to be a soul winning evangelist to be the hot church. You just have to love God and be sincere. And if you love God and you're sincere, you will be progressive. And you will grow from glory to glory, and you will do what normally would not be done by you. God loves us. And he will help us grow in every way of life. And he'll teach us the true paths. He'll teach us how to counter all the wiles of the devil. And he can show you what Satan is up to and what he's trying to do against you. But you have to listen to him. If you go forward of your own free will and learn of him, you're going to do well. You're going to go forward. You're going to be tremendously blessed. But those who learn to resist the Holy Spirit, it gets easier every time they do it. Unless they start loving God, they're not going to win in life. And the Holy Spirit will not go against your will, even if it means your life. You get to decide whether you want to go to heaven or not. You get to decide whether you're going to trust God or not. But if you trust him, you're going to do well. If you keep faith in his word, you're going to do fine. It doesn't matter how you start. It matters how you end up. Will you leave this world alive? Jesus asked the man at the pool of Bethesda, will you be made whole? Will you live forever? Will you receive salvation? And when the answer is yes, and you mean it, the Lord has something to work with. He can always help those who love him. He can always help those who believe him. He can always help those who gain understanding in the word of God, according to the logic of God. All of God's word is great, and it works. Helps us go forward in life in ways that we normally could not. The word of God has all forms of encouragement, every way of health, all forms of success, and the Lord knows how to help us receive more of his word. And as we go forward doing his will, we gain the understanding we need, and we end up doing things that people can't expect. And I know this. And when people start following him, things can happen that normally could not happen. So those who I used to minister these things to all the pastors the Lord would send me to. I did my best at the time to help them understand what the Lord was causing me to understand. And some of the things I couldn't put in words as good as I do now. But I never forgot it, and I never will forget it. But everybody still has great potential. Whoever will listen to the Holy Spirit, whoever will regard Him, will be able to do the wonderful works of God. And it's easy for anybody who's willing. It's not hard, it's not complicated. If you can do what God gives you to do, you can do these things. But the first thing, you have to love God sincerely. By your faith, love God. By your faith, honor Him. Seek Him. See what He has to say. See what's next on the agenda. Let Him share His agenda with you. And it's all right for you to share your agenda with Him. Just make your agenda subject to His, and you will win. Entirely, saith the Lord. Some words come from the heart of the Holy Spirit, and He wanted that to be known. These are not my words. These are things that the Holy Spirit has prompted me to share. And I want to see people do the greater works because they are available. All of us have wonderful things to portray, to say, and to do. And the Lord will help us do everything that's needful. When I first started out, and the Lord would give me things and thought, things that to say and share, thoughts and concepts, I didn't know all the details like He taught me in recent years. But I knew it was important. I knew what He said. I did have revelation on it. But just like everything else, I grew. And the revelation knowledge grew also, to the point that I can share these things with people and they can understand them. Now the Lord loves us and He's going to help us. He's going to show us our road and how to go, what the next step should be, and how we can do even greater. But watch this. God needs us to do great things. It helps to win souls. But He's more concerned about you. He loves you for you, not for the ministry that you can do for Him, not the crowd you can win. He loves you personally. And He pointed that out to me one day. I was asking Him, you know, most pastors, they put a lot of emphasis on church attendance, how much you give, things that you, you know, people being interested in the things of God. And I am too. And I asked the Lord about performance, how people perform, how often they go to church and things like that. How did He feel about it when people stay at home and just take the day and sleep all day instead of going to church? And He pointed out some things that I didn't know or I didn't realize. He said, I don't require dedication. And I sat up in my bed, because I was in bed when He told me that. I said, wait a minute. He said, I don't require dedication. And I thought about this for a day or two. And he just talked to me about these things. See, the Lord will show you things that you need to know. And He has good reason for all that He does. Now, when He said He don't require dedication, I'm thinking, wait a minute. This is not what I've been taught. This is not how I think. What do you mean you don't desire dedication? Because sometimes people stay at home. Sometimes they don't study the Bible like they should. And sometimes they don't pray enough. And they always ask others to pray for them and do the things that they're supposed to be doing. And then the Lord said, I don't require dedication. I said, and I thought about it. I just thought about it. I had to rethink a lot of things. And he let me just run that tape in my mind for a while. And then he pointed it out. He said, when it comes to ministry work, it's good that people obey me and do those things. He said, but I love you for you, not what you can do for me. And I thought about that for a while. I thought about that for some hours, you know. Well, he loves me for me, not for what I can do. I thought about it. And pastors, they love people. They've seen people backslide. You got to understand that pastors, they preach the word, and they know what to watch out for. They know how you're going to feel in a few months if you don't fortify your heart, which is wise. And use the things of God. And all the while, Satan's trying to tear down what he's building up or what she's building up. Satan's always trying to disqualify people in their walk with God and cause them to look at something else and not God. And then the Lord said, I don't require dedication. I'm like, okay. He let me think about it some more. And the next day or two, he put it plain. He said, I don't require dedication, but I do desire dedication. And those who are dedicated, he will reward them. And life will too. Because when you sow to the spirit, you reap life and blessings. But when you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. And that corruption can cost you a fortune. But the Lord don't give up. He loves us for us, not for what we can do. Not for how good we make our community and our church and our family look. He loves you individually. He wants to make sure you're healthy and cared for. And his love won't change. You believed on Jesus. You gave him something to work with. Now, if you go on to be dedicated, you can do things that normally couldn't be done. And other people will live. And God likes that. He can use dedication. Because you're giving him something to work with. But his love doesn't change. And that's the point of it. So a lot of times people try to do the ministry and do it well so God will love them. In that sense, he don't require dedication. It honors him that you're doing things that need to be done. But the best thing to do is focus on the Lord and enjoy your relationship with him. And then the works of God will be done, and it'll be done well, and you're not trying to get attention for doing God's work. You're not trying to get God's attention or man's attention. You're just doing what you do, and God's going to bless you for it. It's going to be a blessing to people. And you're dedicated, and it's real, and God likes that. He can bless that. But he's not going to stop loving you if your performance goes down. But don't stop loving him. In fact, if you overperform, it can cost you your love walk. You can become like Martha, always worried about what you got to do and forget about the wonderful works of God. God loves all of his people collectively and individually. He loves us, and his love is very determined, and he's very determined in his love. Now, I have a lot to say when it comes to following God, because there's years of revelation knowledge concerning it. Now, as the Lord give me these broadcasts, I'm learning some things that I've forgotten and some things that are just new. But these things are priceless to me. I see the wisdom. I see why the Lord said the biggest problem in the church is his people don't follow him. Because when people obey him and follow him, things start happening that don't normally happen. And he has a chance to build on a foundation in a greater way. The more knowledge we receive of him, the more he can do in our lives. He do desire dedication. But more than that, he desires us to be the hot church, a church that loves God. Now, the enemy is crooked. He'll say, you don't love God if you don't do this, if you're not doing that. And people will make you feel that way. Remember something. People, they're desperate. God is not desperate. He already knows how to win souls. He knows who will hear and who won't. Now, those who will hear him and love him, he send people, he prepare and send people to them. And it's a priority. Sometimes the move of God has a determination with it that you can notice. The Lord will do miracles to get you in place. For instance, there was a man that had a house and the Lord wanted him to move to a specific place in Texas. And so he had to uproot his family and move him there so that he could do this work. And he had a house and he had to sell it. And the house sold quickly. And then the house that he bought, people sold it to, he was the lowest bidder on the house. And the people sold, he had favor with the people that were selling the house, and they sold it to him because God moved on his behalf. And he was better off financially because God had to get him in place to be a blessing to people that he knew would hear. Now, that's why I say you're going to see miracles happen as you endeavor to do God's perfect will. But if you think that you can just organize it, or man can organize what to do next, and that plan will work, that's wrong. That's not true. It's not going to work. In comparison to what God is guiding you to do, it will not work the same way. Because man, that would say that man knows what to do. God told Job, if you can make a proud man, how did he have it? If you can humble a proud man, I say to you that you can save your own soul. And he couldn't do that. Now I'm paraphrasing big time. But you have to read the dialogue that once God began to speak out of the whirlwind, all the things he said to Job set the record straight in Job's mind. To the point Job said, I knew you by the hearing of the ears, but now the seeing of the eye. And that's precisely what I mean when I say look into the Lord. Now he had understanding by the counsel of the Holy Spirit. Just like you're going to have. The seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit is going to come to you and teach you and guide you. And you're going to see things on a grand scale and not just on a low measure. The best religious institutions and Bible colleges can't prepare you for what the Holy Spirit will train you to do. And what the Holy Spirit give you to do will be a perfect work. And it will be astounding and a blessing. Nothing on this earth can compare to what the Holy Spirit can do in even your life, in your life. So be sure about what God give you. Receive his word and study the word in that area. And you'll see what I'm talking. You're going to experience greater things. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue and rejoice to continue in showing you the next step and blessing you. And he'll teach you all day long. And he will help you understand things that no man can help you understand. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus is our Lord.